You're listening to Grilling Guys. We are born in the USA, and we're damn proud of it. And whether you are or not, we're glad you're listening. And it is all about the birthday of the great USA. It's Independence Day.
America.
And we're from America, and we're talking about a little grilling. And we were going to talk about some Puerto Rican pinchos, and then we said, you know what? We're in America. We're going to talk about something American. And that's a good old hog, all right? So here we go.
Well, actually, Puerto Rico is America.
I understand, but it's not so mainland.
We want to retract that a little bit, okay? It is one of our territories.
All right.
And we're family.
So geography,
we're all family.
Geography wasn't my strong point, but anyway. So
that's a common offense, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
A lot of people, and I'll tell you what, just to help educate everybody. Next weekend, we're going to see if we can get the Latin from Manhattan to come on the show, Mr. Rick Suarez from Atwater Brewery, and we'll school everybody on a little bit of Puerto Rican history. How about that? And we get
there
some good
go.
Beer with it.
Right, yeah.
If
yeah.
you don't know Rick Suarez, you just haven't lived yet.
Right. He'll be a great guest. Looking forward to that.
And so, then you'll never say that again.
Right. So, pork chops.
These Call
are
me that.
These are a meat that my mother used to cook to death in a frying pan, and I swear we took them out back and played hockey with these damn things.
I see a little tear developing.
I hated pork chops when I was growing up because
really?
They had the trichinosis, you know, so you had to cook them to death, and they were hard as a board. They had no flavor. And it's like, okay, so I grew up and can now make my own opinions, and you read and you understand a little bit.
And you're dissing
bless
your
my
mom.
Mother's heart. But
and you're dissing your mom for the 4th of July.
I'm telling you, she could not
your
cook
sweet
a pork
little
chop.
Dutch mother.
Right. She couldn't. She was German.
Oh.
But she couldn't cook a pork chop to save her tail, except my dad really liked them that way because that's the only way he got them. Enough of that. We're doing pork chops to 145,
yeah, get off
or
the couch.
Degrees.
We're done with therapy
right,
now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I discovered by accident a really cool little trick for pork chops. And people will argue, oh, you know, you got to keep the bone on it for the flavor, all that. I don't know what your opinion is on it.
Well, you know what? The bone holds it together, and it's always the meat is always sweeter next to the bone. But I know what you're about to say is the bone has done its work.
Yes.
By the
I'm
time
famous
it gets
for
to,
saying that because right, it's true.
Right.
I don't lie most yeah. of the time.
Right.
So what I've gotten to be fond of doing is just getting the loin. I saw it again on sale for $1.89 a pound.
Which is crazy.
You look at pork chops.
Right.
They're $4.99 a pound. You've got the best piece of the meat sitting there already cleaned up for you, and it's $1.99. Riddle me this.
Right.
So yeah. what I like to do is take that loin and cut it into inch and a half chops and then get my jacquard out.
Right. Which is the circus bed of nails.
That's right.
And you're going to proceed to punch 1,000 little holes
yeah.
inside of this.
It's a stamping device that right. has a torturing needle thing, a bunch of needles that come down. They have those actually that inject marinade now too.
Right, yeah, I saw those.
Yeah, so I get my jacquard out, and I pulverize the heck out of it. And I pork it. And that little chop turns into a great big pancake because I beat it to death. While I'm doing that, I have oil and spices on it. Then I flip it over, oil, spice it, do the other side, and it doesn't look anything like a pork chop anymore. After I grill it, that thing magically keeps retracting and turns back into a chop. And it looks just like what you started with before you took your jacquard to it when you're done grilling it. You get that picture? So I'm going to cut it in an inch and a half chops, oil it, season it, pound on it with a jacquard. If you don't have a jacquard, everybody's got a meat hammer. If you don't have a meat hammer, go buy a jacquard. You can get them online.
Right. So why do you do that?
Oh,
what's the effect?
Goodness. You can cut it with a fork.
Right.
It's so tender. And
which you can't
when
on
I was
the loin if you don't do this.
You know, when I was traveling around with Rob Russell and we were doing all these barbecue classes, we did a series of them called Fancy Grilling. And we just had to come up with some things that were different. And I did this at home once just because I got so fond of using my jacquard that I just started using it on everything. And I thought, oh, I'll do some chop. Oh, my gosh, what a difference that made, because it's so easy to ruin a pork loin.
Right.
It's so easy to ruin a pork chop. Your mom did it all your life.
Right.
You're still blaming
her. Just overcooked.
You're still blaming her.
So for me, I'm going to take that same inch and a half chop, and I might cut a little pocket in it. Okay. Run my knife in on one side, create a little envelope.
Oh, butterfly.
Right. Well, not butterfly, because I want an envelope, because what I want to do is I want to stuff some maybe some cheese in there, or stuff maybe a little few slices of jalapeno pepper in there. And then when I grill it, that stuff is inside. When I get it to temperature, it's cooked on the inside as well as the outside. And you just take a nice cross-section bite of that thing. And it's good.
So you cook it like a real man.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A man, man, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
His mamaw is something that touches me personally.
It did when you went to Europe, I know that.
Man purse is still a purse.
Yes, it is. Now, there's one of the grilling guys that actually has one of these.
Okay, if it's a gift, do you really own it? I guess you do.
Well, you could have returned it, but you didn't.
No, I'm sleeping.
You could have not taken it to Europe with you, but you didn't.
I'm sleeping with her every night, okay?
Right. Did I see a picture of you in Europe with it over your shoulder?
No.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
No.
But
not one, because it stayed in my suitcase. Not only was it a man purse, but it was the jankiest looking one you could ask for. I mean, it was total... so many things FCC will give me trouble over.
So
anyway, no, I don't like man purses. Okay. Every time I see a guy with one, I grab his hair and I tuft it up into a man bun so he looks appropriate.
Right. Okay, well, good for you. You can quaff. You get a quaff with a man
purse. Let's talk about Puerto Rican pinchos.
Do that, man. What is that? I don't even know what they are.
Well, it's I colored a little picture here for you. Oh. And it's basically...
You even stayed in the lines. Check that out.
You can use pork or chicken, and you cube it. And Puerto Rico has food very much like Cuban. And
is there a pun there? Your cubed pork or chicken is Cuban?
Anyway, it takes garlic, adobo, pepper, oregano, this oil that it calls for is achiote. I don't know if I said that right. A little vinegar, olive oil, and some skewers and hot sauce. But just like with Cuban and Puerto Rican foods, there very often you'll find blends of something from India or Africa in there, I think because of the trade routes historically. Puerto Rico was like founded by the Spaniards in like the 1500s. It's actually older than the U.S. because Columbus landed there before he landed here, right?
I think he came here in 1492, if I remember my history.
But it was actually founded as a...
Right.
San Juan, the capital city, was founded in like 1569 or something. It's the oldest city in this hemisphere.
I see.
And so their trade routes, these ships would bring spices and all this stuff, and... So I think their cuisine has some of this stuff that wouldn't seem like Puerto Rican. You know, it wouldn't make any sense. Like there's soy sauce in a lot of those recipes down there and Cuban stuff. It's like, why?
Right.
The favorite cooking box in Cuba is called a China box. Well, that doesn't make any sense either.
Right.
We didn't even put the Panama Canal in until, you know, like the 20s or 30s, I think.
Yeah,
and Teddy Roosevelt took care of that one, I think, in the teens, whenever he was around. So it's just their cuisine is cool and different, and it's very eclectic, and it doesn't have a profile like you can look at, well, you know, Mexican food is very much like this, or German food is very much like this. The stuff down in the islands is kind of all over the place. You'll find curry recipes further down into the Virgin Islands you get, and it's, I don't know, I'm babbling, but I love different spice profiles, and I love to see the way people originate their food.
And it's fun to experiment. You're not going to ruin a $50 piece of chicken. It's a $4 piece of chicken. You know, take a chance.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Give it a run. And if it doesn't work, tweak it. You know, you either like it or you didn't, and
isn't
you move on.
Isn't that an ABBA song?
Right. Coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. Barbecue Bob's going to be doing a little hosting a barbecue up in northern Michigan. You're going to want to check this out. Stick with us. We'll be back.